Yeah. heads were low, their steps were slow, as they walked along that long maze road. Then a man appeared, and as he drew near, he said, "Why are you so sad? Are things really that bad?" And they said, "Sir, have you not heard? Well, you must be a stranger in this town, for the one who came in the Father's name, well, he has been cut down and laid his body in the ground." Oh, but as they walked and talked, he began to explain about this Jesus and why he came. He opened the scripture, began to teach that old preacher of preachers. He began to preach. He said, "In the wilderness, the children had nothing to eat, but manna from heaven fell down at their feet. When they were dry and thirsty in a foreign land, living waters came forth out of rock and sand. When three Hebrew children were thrown into flame, and the fourth man appeared, they even called him by his name. The manna and the water, the man, they're all the same. If you're still confused, let me say this real plain." He said, "That was me. It was me. Yes, I'm the one you left back there at Calvary. It was me. Now who do you think hung the stars in the sky? Who do you think turned us day into night? Who made the flowers? Who made the trees? Who made the sun and the moon and the seas? Who gives life to all who believe? Amen. Who do you think made that blind man to see?
Yeah.
Who made the very air that we breathe?
Yeah.
Who defeated death and won the victory?" He said, "That was me. It was me. Yes, I'm the one that died for you at Calvary.
Glory to God.
It was me. Well, who loved you when no one else would?
Praise God.
And who saved you when no one
else could.
He said, "That was me." How many times must I prove how much I love you? And how many ways bless my love for you I show? And how many times must I rescue you from trouble for you to know just how much I love you? Didn't I wake you up this morning? You were clothed in your right mind. And when you walked right in your closet, each step was right on time. When you were weak on life's journey, didn't my angels carry you so you would know just how much I love you? Now how many times must I build a hedge around you? And how many times must I wipe all your tears away? And how many storms must I bring you safely through for you to know just how much I love you? Didn't I wake you up this morning? You were clothed in your right mind. And when you walked right in your closet, each step was right on time. When you were weak on life's journey, didn't my angels carry you so you would know just how much I love you? Didn't I put food on your table when your bills were all past due? And when the pain got so bad in your body, didn't I send healing right to you? When you were lost in sin and sorrow, didn't I die just to set you free? How much I love you.
Lord in heaven above, why'd you pick me to love? Why you love me, I just can't understand.
Bless her, Lord.
While I see others more worthy of Jesus.
From the creation of the world are clearly seen,
being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse.
Amen.
Verse number 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Would you help me pray? Precious God, we come to you, Father, one more time this day. Thank you, God, for the opportunity and the blessing that we have to come to you in the word of prayer. And God, we pray this morning, Lord God, that we would speak clear, we would speak plain, we would speak, Lord Father, with the unction and the power that only a man can speak with. So therefore, Lord, I'm asking you to preach through me one more time. God, I don't know how to preach, never been able to preach, and no man has ever been able to. And God, my words, Lord Father, if I was to try to speak or try to make folks to understand or try to do all these things, Lord God, it would have no effect. But God, would you please reveal it in their hearts. Speak to their hearts, God. And I pray their heart would be open to hear and to listen. And oh God, I pray today, Lord Father, that if they hear your word and hear and feel your tug, God, that they would move upon that which they feel. And God, and that which they hear in their heart. God, I can't put it into words on how it is. Lord Father, I just know how it felt to me. And God, when you came and manifested yourself in my life and made it so plain. And God, I pray today, Lord, that our speech be plain, the revelation be plain, and folks make their way to you. It's in your Son's precious name we pray. And all the glory and honor and praise go to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you for standing and reading. I want to preach on the revelation of God. The revelation of God. I thought about this, and God changed my thoughts even while we was praying to ask the question, "Do how much do we really know God?" But as I was reading in this scripture, which is part of the message that God laid upon my heart real hot and heavy, is the revelation of God. The revelation that God gives to an individual. Oftentimes I've heard, and we often say, just by out of habit, the last book of the Bible, we call it the Revelations, but it's not. It's only one revelation.
Amen.
And the Bible says it's the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That book is to reveal the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And can I say this today? No person really knows who God is until God revelates himself in their heart. In today's day that we live in and throughout history and throughout time, man has tried his best to study or to learn or to dig and try to find out who exactly God is. But can I say this today? The best way to find out who God is let God introduce himself unto you. I thought about this, and there's been many people. You may be sports fans, or maybe you have certain favorite singers or television personalities or movie stars. And a lot of times people know a lot of things about them. They know their background, know their birthplace, and they know where they're from, and they know their ins and outs. They know their favorite things and their habits. But realistically, they really don't know who that person is because they've never been introduced to that person. They just know a lot of things about them. But can I say this today? There's a movement that has been going on since the beginning. There's a movement that has been going on and getting more and more prevalent in today's times. And more people think they know who God is, but they have never met God and they have never been introduced nor revelated in that by Him. Amen. That's exactly right. I got to thinking as these scriptures and how things go and how sometimes the world would love to try their best to do things, but realistically it takes God to manifest Himself in the individual's heart. I remember as I was growing up, or I remember as after I got married, I remember the times I was invited to go to church, and I would only go to church because somebody asked me to go, and I really did it to get them off my back, so they would stop pestering me and asking me to go to church, and I would go. But I'll never forget the one time that I actually went, and I sat there with my heart wide open. I don't know why my heart was open. I don't know why I went that night so particularly. I do believe it was because there was a bluegrass gospel group that was going to sing, and that was a way to my heart, and I wanted to hear that. But I'll never forget when the preacher stood up and preached, it got directly into my heart.
Amen.
And it changed everything. It wasn't that man knew something about me. It wasn't that he knew my background or knew my history. It was because he had said something that pricked me in my heart. It got down to the place where I didn't tell nobody that it got to. Didn't tell my wife that it got into there. Didn't tell my mom or my dad. Didn't tell my buddies that it got down there. Actually, I was scared to tell my buddies that it had gotten down into my heart. but it began to move and it began to build and it began to grow in my heart to the place where God finally manifested himself to me in the realization of what I needed. And then I moved, and thank God I moved upon that. It was just a nudge. It was something that was in the heart, and I'm glad I moved, but it was when he revealed himself in my life. Can I say this today? There's nobody that has ever gotten born again, saved, or they're in the place that's called heaven now. They're at rest in the presence of God. Nobody's ever gotten there without the revelation that God gave them. Would you all agree to that this morning? I've heard so many people say, well, preacher, I've read the Bible, and preacher, I've prayed, and preacher, I've went to school, and preacher, I've went to Sunday school, I've been to vacation Bible school. Don't get me wrong, I think all those things are needful, and through and by all those things, God will reveal himself to you, but all those things don't get you to heaven, and all those things don't get you saved. Can I say this today? All those things are the things that accompany religion, but Sister Tanya, there's something that happens if you do those things. And if you'll open up your heart today, and can I say this, church, please pray. I feel like God's wanting to speak to somebody or some people today, but if you would open up your heart today, God will reveal himself unto you. Have our people put God upon point or put God on the spot and say, God, do A, B, or C, and then I'll believe that you're real. Or God, do A, B, and C, and I'll trust in you more. I'm telling you, you can't bargain with God because he holds all the cards.
Amen.
He holds all the value. He holds all the riches. We have nothing to bargain with. Amen. Oh, yes, it is a free country. Oh, yes, I thank God that he made us a free moral agent. And it's up to us whether we believe. But can I tell you this today? You can't go about it any other way. You can try to make something up on your own, but you'll find yourself at a loss. I've heard people say, preacher, are we getting to the deepest of message? What kind of Bible studies are you doing? What kind of message series are you doing? Just exactly what kind of preaching is going on down at Mount Zion Baptist Church?
Yeah.
And I say, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Power. For Paul said, it's the power of God unto salvation to all them that believe, unto the Jew and also unto the Greek. He says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. You don't get the revelation of the righteousness of God through church attendance, through a handshake, or through singing of a song. Listen, it's the power, the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, and I'm not ashamed to preach it unto you. You might be ashamed to hear it, or you might be ashamed to believe in it, but I'm not ashamed to preach it. That's the only way you'll get it revealed. He says the righteousness of God is revealed through the gospel, through the preaching, and so is hell. The wrath of God is revealed through that. Brother James Powell, some people got convicted on this or got convicted on that. But when hell got a hold of my soul, when death gripped a hold of my life, it changed the way that I believe. I'm not trying to be difficult. I'm not trying to be controversial. I know there's a lot of people out there that loves the repeat after me prayers. I know there's a lot of people that love to open up the scriptures and tell them to read the scriptures and believe them. And I think all those things can be good and used for good. But nobody will ever get saved just by reading. Nobody will ever get saved just by repeating. But it'll be by the revelation of God in your heart. Now some people might say, preacher, you might cause some people to doubt they're saved because they'll have to go back and check themselves. Well, there's nothing wrong going back and making sure you got the real thing. We've got imitation sugar. We've got imitation milk. We've got imitation potatoes. We've got imitation corn. And there's a lot of imitation God out there and imitation salvation. And none of it's real. And there's only one thing. If I may quote Ray Charles from back in the 1980s, it takes the real thing, baby, if you're going to get to heaven. It has to be revealed. In a day and time, can I say this? They're loading them up by the busloads, by the truckloads, the trainloads, and the airplane loads, and folks are dying and going to hell. They have trusted in things that are not of God, and no way can God reveal himself through those things. Y'all look at the preacher this morning. I was looking at some things, and I was saw somebody had wrote something or had said something, compared some things. I want to compare a piece of scripture on just why the preaching of God's word is so important. And notice I said God's word has to be preached.
Amen.
In the King James Bible, in Daniel chapter number 3, and verse number 25, our Bible says, he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Amen. Amen. I'm glad that in the midst of a fiery furnace, Jesus will be there with you. Yeah. Walking walking through the fiery furnace. I'm glad the Word of God promises me that Jesus will be there through all the hard times and through all the sad. Y'all with the preacher this morning? But can I find you in another place? Probably the only time you'll ever hear me quote or read a quote from the non-inspired version. But the NIV, what they call a Bible, this is what it says in the same exact verse. It says, he said, look, I see four men walking around in fire, unbound and unheard. And the fourth looks like a son of the gods. I'm telling you, Jesus is not a son of the gods. Jesus is the Son of God. And Jesus, if you'll have it, is God. God is manifested in Jesus, reconciling us unto himself. Bless his sweet name today. Our God is not a man that can be made believe God. He's the true and living God. And he's got to be revealed in your heart. He's got to be revealed in your heart. So many people says, well, preacher, we just believe like we ought. We just believe like we want to. Ain't we all going to the same place? No. No, we are not. There's only two destinations for mankind. One was not made for him. Think about this. Heaven was made for man. And hell was, or that glorious city was made for man. And hell was made for the devil and his angels.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And can I say, well, people, well, preacher, I like how I look at it like this. I think it's a hurtful thing that the God of heaven would put people in hell. But can I say this morning? It's not that God puts people in hell, and I believe that he does, but it's because they decide not to retain the revelation that God gives them so they could be saved and go to heaven. And can I say this today? As I read in Romans, in this book of Romans, and I read it, and it told you about how it says that he had revealed himself and showed the things that God has clearly done. I don't know about anybody else, but it amazes me sometimes how I can sit and ponder on things, and things come back to my mind, and things come back to my life. How I can smell something, it'll bring back a memory. How I can be in the presence of someone, and the love that they show towards me reminds me of the love of someone else who's done gone and passed on. I mean, I just thank God how he manifests himself. I didn't pray for that. I didn't ask for that. But I believe it's God showing himself to us to let us know just exactly how real that he truly is. Oh, I've often been in conversations and been in debates with folks who say they don't believe in God. I'll never forget at Tammy, one of Tammy's Christmas parties at our families. We all got together and they got this one in-law who says he just doesn't believe in God. And I respect the man for his way. He has the freedom to believe. And everybody else decides to pound him because he doesn't believe. But I sat there one night, Brother Jerry Clems, and I decided to sit there with him even when he spat off and said, you know, I really don't believe in Christmas. I don't believe in this Christmas tree stuff and all these other things. And I looked at him, I said, well, can I be quite honest with you? I don't believe in the Christmas tree and all that stuff either. He said, he looked at me kind of funny. He said, what's wrong with you? I said, I believe in the birth of Jesus. He says, can I tell you that Jesus, it doesn't know if you don't know if Jesus has been born on December 25th or not. I said, you know what? You're exactly correct. I don't know what night he was born on or what day he was born on. I just know in the depths of my heart that he was born.
Amen.
He looked at me kind of funny. And if you have it according to the conversation, he looked at me and thought I was kind of weird because I wasn't like the stereotypical run-of-the-mill, go to church and grab your Bible and think everything's all right. I'm going to heaven. Who cares about anybody else? But I wanted to get down to the heart of the matter with him because the heart of the matter is the matter that is of the heart. We went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Tammy even remember this. Some folks got scared and up and left the room and just left us all by ourselves because they didn't know what was going to happen. Do you know what was going to happen? The love of God was going to be shared to the man. It's not for us to point our finger at them and tell folks if they don't believe like we do or if they don't, or if they have a sin in their life. It's up to us to show them the love of God.
Amen.
To let them know that we're no different than they are, except for salvation. Right. And God has revealed himself to us.
Amen.
And that's what I do. Every time God says, get into that pulpit, I ask God to use me, soak me up like a sponge, Joanne, and twist me and wring me and walk me up into a ball and squeeze everything out of me. Even if I have to crawl out, so that somebody would hear and see and feel the revelation of God. May I remind you, just because you're in the presence or have the opportunity or have the resources, it doesn't make a difference. You've got to have that revelation. You've got to retain what God shows you. May I remind everybody in Acts chapter number 26, it's the place where a lot of folks quote King Agrippa, where King Agrippa says, "Thou almost persuaded me to be a Christian." Yeah. And the Bible says that as he was sitting there, he was listening to the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul goes throughout his testimony, gives his testimony. As he said, as I was on the road to Damascus, I was going about to persecute the church. I had papers in my hand. I had all the authority of law to get rid of them. He said, but at midday, at the brightest point of the day, he said, there was a light that shined down out of heaven.
Amen.
That was not the sun.
Excuse me.
Woo! He said, everybody that was with me saw the light. Amen. But he said, I heard a voice. Amen. And it was there when Jesus began to speak to the Apostle Paul and reveal himself unto him. And he said, since then I've been trying to preach, I've been trying to tell everybody. I gave up everything that I had. I believe in it so much, I gave up my position in the Sanhedrin part. I believe it so much, and it was revealed to me that I gave up my status amongst the other folks in the Jewish religion. I gave up myself as a spot as a Pharisee. I gave up all the witches and all the riches in the well. And what I have begun to give my life to do is to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. I'm a nobody trying to tell somebody about this one body who can save anybody if they'll give their life after the revelation. The Apostle Paul began to tell him all those things, and I do believe it was the lawyer. He said unto him, and yet having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying one and the same none other things than those things which prophets and Moses did say shall come. The Apostle Paul didn't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, so he's using the Old Testament. He's using the prophets. He's using the law to preach Jesus Christ, because that's who the law and the prophets were talking about. Y'all agree with that?
Amen.
I know some people don't believe in the law and the prophets were preaching Jesus Christ. And there's some people that I call brothers that says Jesus wasn't even in the Old Testament. I think we need to go back and start searching again. And he'll reveal himself in that Old Testament.
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad that rock that issued the water out of the sand.
Amen.
Thank God for that. But it says that Christ should suffer, and that should be the first that should be rise from the dead, and shew light unto all the people and to the Gentiles. And thus as he spoke for himself, Festus was the man that was there, and with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doeth maketh thee mad. I want you to listen to what the Apostle Paul told King Agrippa and Festus. He said, but he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know thou believest. And King Agrippa says, thou almost persuadest me to be a Christian. King Agrippa had the writings. King Agrippa knew the situation. King Agrippa had the law. He didn't have the Bible, but he had the old scrolls. He had the things that were written down. He knew those things. He read those things. And the Apostle Paul is confronting him, saying, don't you believe, Agrippa? Don't you believe? Now, King Agrippa may have believed all those things were written in the days of old. He may have believed that some men had wrote those things. And he may believe that some men wrote those things because of a fairy tale God that he had in his mind. But can I tell you, the Apostle Paul was standing there, living proof, trying to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, saying, it's real, Agrippa. It's real. Don't you believe? Don't you believe? Just because you may have all the knowledge and just because you may have all the resources don't make you heaven bound unless God reveals himself unto you. May I remind everybody of Daniel chapter number 5. Daniel chapter number 5. We find the word Daniel or Belshazzar. Belshazzar is the son, the lineage of King Nebuchadnezzar. And Belshazzar is having himself a party, and they all decide to get drunk. And they all start drinking alcohol, drinking wine. And they decided to use the cups and the vessels that come from the house of God. They decided to take God's vessels and pollute them and do the things that they wanted to do. But the Bible says that God was not going to allow his vessels to be polluted without a warning coming with them. And the Bible says there appeared fingers of a man's hand and began to write upon the wall. And the Bible says when King Belshazzar looked over and saw those fingers and the writing that was on the wall, it said something got a hold of him. Something got on him so bad that his loins loosed and his knees knocked.
Yeah.
Can I say this? You may try to hide it from me. And you may try to hide it from somebody else. But when God gets a hold of you, Brother James Powell, your loins will loose, your muscles will rip, your power of faith, your right now. And the Bible says that Belshazzar, when he saw that, he got concerned. He called up all his soothsayers, called up all his astrologers, called up all the magicians. He called up all those people who try to deal in the supernatural. But none of them can tell him what the inscription that was written upon the wall was. And Belshazzar was upset. He was bothered. He was worried in the depths of his soul. And the Bible says that Belshazzar's wife come to him and said, "Oh, King, live forever. Don't you remember that your father had a man that was around him by the name of Daniel? And this man had a power with God. He wasn't a power of God's. He had a power with God.
Amen.
And he says he could tell some things. He can interpret some things that nobody else can do." Can I say this morning? You can read the astrology paper. You can look up your horoscope in the paper. You can dial 1-900, read my palm. You can have tarot cards flipped over your presence. And those things can reveal the deep things of God.
Amen.
But if you get yourself around the man of God who's been anointed by the power of God, there's some things that can get revealed in your heart that nobody else can reveal.
Right.
And the Bible says this. She said, "He's the one that can do it." And the Bible says that Daniel was asked for by Belshazzar. And this is what Belshazzar said unto him. In 16th verse of Daniel chapter 5, he says, "And I heard of thee that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts." Amen. That just got hit me right there. Anybody here glad that God can dissolve doubts?
Amen. Amen.
Is anybody here doubted they got saved? I mean, you got to raise your hand.
Yeah.
I'll do it for you. I've doubted before.
Yes.
I got to get this. It just hit me. But God can dissolve all the doubts.
Amen.
John the Baptist, the very simple mother's womb, there's none greater than John the Baptist. He had some doubts, and God dissolved the doubts for him. How did he dissolve them? He said, "Go back and ask Jesus if he's the one."
Amen.
He said, "Ask him if he's the one, or shall I look for another?"
Amen.
And Jesus said, "Go back and tell him the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the dumb speak, the dead are raised, and the lepers are cleansed." There is none other who can resolve your doubts than God.
Amen.
And Belshazzar said, "I heard you can clear up the doubts. I heard you can do all those things." And this is what he said: "If thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof," he said, "thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck, and shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom." I mean, he was promising him everything at that time.
Yeah.
Babylon was the place at that time. They ruled the world at that time.
Yeah.
But listen to what the preacher said. Daniel said, "Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself." He ain't going to take no money.
Amen.
Any man of God don't need your money to preach the gospel.
Right.
I know it may sound kind of hurtful, but there's a lot of people that's getting paid millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars. And they're saying they need millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars to go preach across the world so they can get them a jet and preach to people that's needing of God. Can I tell you this? It has not cost me a single dime to preach the gospel. And God already paid for me because he saved my soul. Somebody say amen. Don't be mad at me now. I'm just giving you the truth. Daniel said, don't you give me none of your gifts. I'll give you what God tells me for free.
Amen.
And Daniel answered and said, "Keep thy gifts to thyself and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known unto all him all the interpretation." And Daniel begins to remind him of the things that happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar thought he was better, thought he was smarter, thought he was more righteous, thought he knew everything, thought he had it all figured out. He dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's. He said, "I got it all figured out. I'm the greatest there is. There ain't no one more powerful than me." But the Bible says that God saw him. He even said this so much. He said, "I'm just as powerful as God. If you'll have it, I am God." And God says, "Oh, no, you're not." And he humbled Nebuchadnezzar and he cut him down. When we pick it back up in the 22nd verse, this is what Daniel told Belshazzar. He said, "Thou, O son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. And they have brought the vessels of the house before thee, and thou and thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and the god of gold, a god of brass, a gold and brass, and iron and wood and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is in, whose are always in thy ways, hast thou not glorified." He's saying, "You've known these things. It's been told unto you. You've known it. You've seen it. But you just decided not to retain it.
Amen.
Ah. It's just a story. If it happened to Grandpa, it ain't going to happen to me. This is 2016. But Daniel said, Belshazzar, the writing says that your life has been weighed in the balance.
Yeah.
And if you'll have it, you've been found guilty.
That's right.
Therefore, tonight your soul shall be required of thee.
Yes.
And that night his life was gone. His life was over. They snuck in and killed him. The Medes and Persians did. Yeah. And can I say this morning? A lot of people say, no. Whatever happened to me, I'm reminded of how death is no respecter of persons.
Amen.
And I'm reminded of the scripture. It says when the punishment or the result of sin has not been put upon them speedily, some folks don't think it actually happens. And I've heard a lot of people say this, and don't get me wrong, a lot of folks will say that the United States of America and the world is under the judgment of God. Can I say this to you all? Judgment has already been passed. And now the only thing left to come is the wrath of God.
Amen.
Somebody say amen.
Yep.
But aren't you glad that we that are saved are not appointed under wrath?
Amen.
Aren't you glad that before it hits, we get to get out of here?
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Why? Because we believe the revelation.
Right.
When God revealed himself. Y'all here with the preacher? Y'all still with
me?
Last place I want to get to, I want to get to Acts chapter number 17. In Acts chapter number 17, they're on Mars Hill. Is where we find the Apostle Paul. He's on Mars Hill. He's already been around the Stoics and the Epicureans. These are the people who had great philosophers of the Greeks and of the Athenians back in those days, and even long before Paul and when Christ was died upon the cross, they're still carrying upon the beliefs of the old Stoics and Epicureans. And the Bible says that these people spent nothing else in their time but to hear or to know some new thing. And if you'll have it, Mars Hill is a depiction of what we have today in 2016.
Yeah.
And in 2016, we're sitting here, and then if you'll have it here, and on Mars Hill, the Apostle Paul said in verse number 22, he says, and I stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive in all things you're too superstitious. For I passed by, and behold, your devotions, I found an altar to the with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye eagerly worship, him declare I unto you. The Apostle Paul said he passed by their devotions. He passed by and saw all the many things that they was devoting themselves unto. He passed by and saw all the superstitions and knew all the superstitions that they had. And can I say this today? You can't substitute the power of God nor the revelation of God with anything else that's subservient or things that have been created by man. Or by something else. Oftentimes I realize and I look upon these things, and in today's day and time, as it was back in Mars Hill, they really didn't have an accurate knowledge, didn't have a specific knowledge, because they want to pin themselves down on one thing. And at one point, they like this belief because this belief allowed them to do this. So they like that belief, and it made them feel smart, so they like that one. The next day, something else came along, and they liked that a little bit better than the other belief because it made them feel even better. It made them feel closer. It made them feel even stronger within themselves. So they liked that belief, and every time a new belief would come along, they would latch on to that belief. They would stick with that belief because it was better than the old belief. The old belief was poor. The old belief was simple. The old belief was ignorant. It wasn't really intelligent. It really wasn't all that great. It was just an old belief. But can I tell you, just because it's old doesn't mean that it ain't no good. May I remind everybody, a lot of folks is going out and finding the old, they'll find an old car and they'll fix it up. They'll find old furniture and fix it up. They'll find the old things that have been made. And I've heard people say things were just made a whole lot better back in the old days than they are now. And can I say this today, that when it comes to the power of God, when it comes to a manifestation of God, you can't find some new thing and expect to find God in it, because the Bible says God changeth not. And can I tell you this today, that in these scriptures, as they was looking around trying to find something to believe in, the Apostle Paul, if you'll notice in your Bible, it says the unknown God. Can I tell you this? There's a lot of people that's coming to church. There's a lot of people that's carrying a Bible around, and God is unknown unto them. They think they have they realize it, or they have a perception in their mind of who or what God is, and they'll carry themselves a Bible around, or think if I go to church, that makes me close to God. But can I tell you something? I remember up in Carlisle, down the road from our house, they had a place called the Lions Club. And I remember one time I got asked if I was going to be a member of the Lions Club. And I really didn't want to be a member of the Lions Club. But can I tell you, if I joined up with the Lions Club, it would not make me a lion. And if I joined up with the Eagles, it wouldn't make me a bird. And if I went and moved into a garage, it wouldn't make me a car door mechanic. Neither does carrying a Bible nor going to church make you a Christian. But can I say this morning? There's a lot of people who have said, I'm going to worship this, I'm going to worship that. And oh yeah, I got a place set aside for the unknown God, because I really don't know who He is. I've never had that revelation. So what I want to try to do is cover all the bases. That way when it's all said and done, God will have pity upon me. Y'all hearing the preacher? I don't think, I hope you ain't got nobody like that in here today, do you? Do you know who God is for real? No. Don't think so. Well, it's the God you're preaching, preacher. Can I say this? He better be the God that revealed Himself in your heart.
Amen.
And He's supposed to be the God that I'm preaching.
Amen.
Y'all believe that? Yep. Y'all with the preacher?
Amen.
Can I say this today? We're under the belief system now in the country that Allah's okay, and that Buddha's okay, that a denomination's okay. Just grab you a book and write Bible on it, and it's okay. It's okay just to go to a place and you don't even have to be a church no more. You can go to a worship center. You can go. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to dog nobody out when they got on their condo. But can I tell you something? The Bible says, Jesus said, upon this rock I shall build my church.
Amen.
And He says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. Amen. Can I tell you what the gates of hell cannot prevail against? Is the revelation of God into the heart of an individual. Amen. And then confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Y'all hearing the preacher? So many times people get upset and they get bent and they get mad at people such as I, or they get mad at a church, or they get mad at a message that goes out and say that was hurtful. That's narrow-minded. That shows no compassion. But can I tell you something today? The Bible says straight is the gate and narrow is the way and few be there that find it. That's not cheerful to a lot of folks, because that's telling me that more folks is dying and going to hell than there are that are dying and leaving this world and going to heaven. Why is that, preacher? Because they're following something else than following the revelation of God.
Amen.
Am I making sense? Is this too crowded?
Amen.
This is what the Apostle Paul preached to them in verse number 24. He preached unto them that God is God. He's Lord.
Amen.
Is God the Lord? Is Jesus Lord?
Amen.
Help me out here. Amen means you agree.
Amen
says you're with it.
Amen.
In verse number 24, he said, He's Lord.
Amen.
He's Lord. There's nobody else.
Amen.
I've heard people say, well, I want a Savior. I don't really like that Lord thing. Well, you're in trouble.
Amen.
And don't get me wrong, I ain't trying to be mean, but there's a lot of people that says that when He comes back, I'm going to crown Him King. When I finally get to meet Him, I got news for you. He was crowned King long before.
Amen.
The world crowned Him with a crown of thorns, but He was born King in a manger under Mary. He's Lord. Secondly, in verse number 25, He made us. He says here in verse number 25, neither is He worshipped with man's hands as though He needeth anything, seeing He giveth all life and breath and all things.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for God, you wouldn't be here.
Right.
I don't believe that, preacher. Well, tell me how this air is mixing together then. Break her down. Break it down. I've heard people say, well, the reason why that is because atmospheric condition. Yeah, you can go through all that, but you can't really define it in your heart to know why. The blood that courses through the veins. Man is trying to clone animals and clone this and clone that. But even the smartest of scientists said the one thing we can't do, we can't replicate, we can't manufacture the human cell. When man's intelligence thinks that he is surpassing God, can I tell you, we'll get back to verse number 26 in the book, in the first chapter of Romans. It'll say some things. It tells a whole lot. But can I tell you this? He reminds us in verse number 25. Verse 24, He's Lord. Verse 25 in Acts 17, He made us. In verse number 26, He determines our life.
Yeah.
He hath made of one both all nations of men, or to dwell upon the face of the earth, and hath determined the times of the foreappointed and the bounds of their habitation. That means He knows exactly how far your life is.
Yeah,
anyway. He knows the day you're leaving, you don't.
Yeah.
I was reminded of a 45-year-old, a 56-year-old, and a 60-year-old in the past week and a half have left this world all unexpectedly.
Yeah.
And can I say this, not to be hurtful, But if I get to live to be 100 years old and somebody says, well, he died a timely death, it never was time for me. God didn't scope me out for my, if I wanted the permission to. But the Apostle Paul is preaching to them on Mars Hill about how these things are so and how they're trying to worship a God without the revelation. But it says this in verse number 27, that they should seek the Lord if happily they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not very far from every one of us. For in them we live and move and have our being. And as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. For as much as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone or graven by art of man's devices. And at that time, this ignorance God winked at. This ignorance God winked at it, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent.
Yeah.
He commands all men everywhere to repent in verse number 31, because He hath appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained.
Yeah.
Wherefore we have given assurances to all men in that He hath risen from the dead.
Amen.
I want to ask you today, would you like to have that revelation of the Lord in your life? I wonder today if you're here and you're not saved, or if you're here or if you've got some things in your heart that's causing you to doubt, if you would you even consider of trying to feel after the Lord? As I'm reminded of what Jeff said, make it plain. He made it plain to me. Why did He make it plain to him? Why don't He make it plain to everybody else? He made it plain to me. He spoke to me the way that I needed to be spoke to. He dealt with me the way that I needed to be dealt with. I'm not an intelligent man. He needed to remind me of some things. He needed to show me some things of my mortality in my life. And then my heart began to feel after. My heart began to search. My heart began to have questions. And there's everybody's heart's got questions.
Amen.
But only Jesus is the one who's got the answers.
Amen.
And don't get me wrong, in this day and time that we're living in, a lot of people saying, well, I want God to do this, I want God to do that. What you need is that God reveal Himself in your heart, and then you believe it by faith.
Amen.
When God had commanded man everywhere to repent, what that means is you're forsaken yourself. You have took sides against your own self and said, you know what? I'm siding with God.
Amen.
And in this repentance and in how these things are revealed, the Bible says in Matthew chapter number 16 and verse number 13 and 18, the Bible says when Jesus got to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, when He got there, He asked the disciples, says, whom do men say I, the Son of Man, am? Who do they say that I am? And the disciples said, well, some say thou art Jeremiah, some say thou art Elijah, some say thou art the prophet. And Jesus asked this question, He says, whom do you say that I, the Son of Man, am?
Yeah.
And Peter stepped up and spoke and said, thou art the prophet.
Yes!
Amen. The Son of the living God. But notice what Jesus said unto him. He said, blessed be Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you.
Amen.
He said, but my Father which is in heaven.
Yes.
And He said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Preacher, why did He build His church? The gates of His church. Why did He build His church? Upon that rock. Because when God reveals Himself in your heart, when God makes it manifest in your heart, it don't matter what I say. It don't matter what the Baptist church says. It don't matter what the Catholic church says. It don't matter what the president says. He says, I love you. I forgive you. And I want to be with you.
Amen.
No man can take that away.
Amen.
No man can take that away. Preacher, what if it gets so bad in this? I'm telling you, Jesus said, I've engraved you in the palms of my hands, and I cannot forget you. I will not forget you. What about my sins, preacher? Does He forget them? No, He don't forget them. He says, I choose not to remember your sins no more, but I remember you. I will always love you. Lo, I'll be with you always until the end of the world. Y'all hearing this, preacher? Are you thinking about the crock pot? Are you thinking about Super Bowl Sunday? You ever thought about what is your life with God? Has God revealed Himself? Simon Barjona walked with Jesus, James. He could have said, I'm going to heaven because I walked with Christ. I even walked on water. But He also denied Him three times. He said it had to be revealed into His heart. One other place, I'm going to ask for a song. Matthew chapter number 11. Matthew chapter number 11. And this is what it says. Verse 25, it says, At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. He kept them hid from the smarty people. Why would he hide things from the intelligent folks? Because what it says in Romans chapter number 1, they chose not to retain the knowledge of God.
Yeah.
They chose to retain their own knowledge.
Right.
The Bible says that God made the foolishness of the world the wisdom of man. That's why a lot of people make fun of folks like you and me, because it says through the foolishness of preaching to save them that would believe.
Right.
Preaching's not foolishness, but to the person who doesn't believe, they think this is foolishness.
Yeah.
And I can understand why they think it was foolishness. When I was lost, I thought it was foolishness too, until I believed it.
Amen.
When I believed it, and I finally realized what all the fuss was about. And this is what he says. He says, but has revealed it them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it is so it seemed good at thy sight.
Amen.
All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal.
Yeah.
But he doesn't stop there. I've often wondered this, Ron. How can you get the revelation? How can it be revealed in your life? How? Well, first of all, you come to church. First of all, you hear the preached word. But this is what he said in the verses. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden.
Yeah.
He said, I'll give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light.
Amen.
Has God ever revealed himself to you? I'm not talking about I'm going to church because this. Are you going to church? Do you believe because something happened, there was a realization,
yeah,
a revelation in your heart.
Amen.
100%. That's what changes people's lives.
Yeah.
Right, that's what changed mine. That's what made my life totally different and better, mm-hmm, is that revelation. When I couldn't tell my wife what was going on the inside, it was just me to myself. I began to feel after if God was real or not. I always heard about him in my life, James. My dad told me not to blaspheme God. My dad never went to church, never took us to church. But he always said, don't blaspheme God, don't you badmouth God. If there was a rule about God in our house, that was all the church of God. You don't badmouth God. You don't make fun of God.
Amen.
You can do everything else, but you couldn't do that.
Yeah.
When I was lost, I had no background, I had no guidance, I had no rule. I had no map with James. All I had was this right up behind the sternum.
Yeah.
Behind the muscle, behind the core.
Yeah.
I had knee. Tony, that was it. And I was heavy laden. I was coming about because I was scared of death.
Amen.
And I began to feel for it. And one morning, he allowed me to feel it.
Yeah.
And I stepped out on it.
Praise God.
Amen. Now, I'm not saying that you're going to feel it today. I'm not saying you're feeling it now. Well, wouldn't you like to come and ask him to give it to you?
Mm-hmm.
I've heard people say, what's the sense of going to go pray? And some people say, well, I don't go pray unless God's tugging at my heart and pulling me up to. And I've heard you say that, preacher. That's true. But if I want to know some more things about God, wouldn't you like just to come and say, God, show me?
Yes, sir.
God, I'm concerned enough. I want to ask you to show me.
Yeah.
God, show me so I can know in my heart. Because the Bible says when he revealed himself to those other men, they said, you know what? Yeah, okay. But I'm not buying it. And they chose not to retain it. They said, oh, that's for the unlearned. That's right. I got told that by my boss. He said, you only go to church because religion's for poor folk, weak-minded people. And you got no constitution to get through life in hard times. Can I say something? Amen. I'll admit, I'm weak-minded and I'm poor. And sometimes my constitution gets weak. Can I tell you something? But I'm not getting through life based upon my constitution and weak mind. I'm getting through life because God's real. Unfortunately, the same Jesus that can save your life and save you from your sins will be the same Jesus that will judge you. For all shall appear before the judgment seat of Christ, give an account of what he's done in the body. If there's a bright spot,
yeah,
it's because Greg Bird, I believe, when he manifested himself to me.
Anyway.
If you ever believe in manifestation, the realization in your heart that God showed himself, I come and ask God and say, God, give me one.
Yeah.
I know Jeff won't mind me saying it. Do it like for Jeff. Make it plain.
Amen.
I needed it. Jeff said he needed it. Maybe you did.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people need to be plain in their heart.
Yeah.
Make it plain. I wonder today, you that's here, and you know of people that needs the Lord, have you ever prayed and said, God, reveal yourself plainly? It's God's will to save them. It's God's will to convict them.
Right.
But they've got to have a revelation. If they don't have no revelation of Christ, there'll be no regeneration.
Right.
Without a revelation, there'll be no conviction, therefore no conversion.
Right.
And if they have never been convicted, no revelation in their life from the power of God, they'll never get saved.
Amen.
You said, preacher, that's putting boundaries on God. No, that's God's word.
Amen.
That's God's word. I'm going to ask today if Joanne alone will come and get to the piano. And if Joanne comes, Joanne, you pray. It's just amazing grace to play. Or as you come, ask God to give you a song. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder today.